The Sheila Zielinski Show, the only show to give you the truth behind the headlines, prophecy, and the deeper things of God. Now, here is your host, Sheila Zielinski.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this February 24th, 2017 edition of The Sheila Zielinski Show. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast today. Hey, if you did not hear the show I did with Mark Taylor, we prayed together at the end. If you have not heard that show last week, you can see it there on YouTube. I really highly recommend that everyone go back and listen to that and stand in agreement and continually pray for Donald Trump. That wasn't just a one and done prayer. I think we should be using that all the time and be offensive instead of always really being in the defense mode. We can use this prayer and it's very powerful, and I highly recommend that you use that as a template for praying for the president, especially with all the inundation of witches that are coming against him. We have to be offensive in this game. So let's really do that. We'll go into the enemy's camp and storm it before he has time to even figure out what his game plan is. And I really highly recommend you do like and share that Mark Taylor YouTube video. Now, speaking of the app, of course, ever since I changed hosting companies, I cannot upload any audio files, period. That means the show audio file, I can't upload it. That means that the app and the archives, and I think I've said this a few times and people are still emailing me, so I need to be very clear. The app, that is the Weekend Vigilante app, which is a fantastic app, by the way. It's just a click and the show plays. It's wonderful. Those shows that go onto the app are from the website archives. I cannot upload any audio into those archives right now. There is some kind of glitch. We don't know what it is. My web team's been working on it since last Monday. So for a week, we've been trying to figure out what is going on here. So is this a targeted attack? I don't know, but it sure seems very strange to me. You know what? I don't know what's causing it, but we're just trying to get it figured out. And it's as much a frustration, if not more, for me than it is you. So you're going to have to just really try to be patient. Please, people that are emailing me, I get it. You can't listen to the archives right now, which is why I think it is so important for people to get this. Subscribe to me on YouTube. Let's build this YouTube channel, folks, for the kingdom of God. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of liberal lemmings out there that have all the subscribers in the world. And guess what? There's no reason why God's team shouldn't have just as much, if not more, subscribers. Because God's message is way more important than any of these pagans. And so we should have more subscribers, and we as Christians should support and subscribe to ministries that are advancing God's kingdom. And it really surprises me that my subscribership is so low. That is surprising to me. So let's build it together. Make sure you're subscribed and you do like and share the videos, because these are important. It's important work. And I thank you in advance for that. Well, I want to jump right into the show today, and here to talk about an incredible topic today is Sharon Mulkey, pastor from West Coast Church of Deliverance. She joins me today, and I'm so excited to have her back on this show. Such a pleasure. And at the end of the program, we're going to talk about a conference that's up and coming that you're not going to want to miss. I'm really excited about this. Towards the end of April, we're going to talk about it today. It is my pleasure to welcome back Sharon Mulkey. Sharon, welcome back to the program. It's a pleasure to have you back on.
Sheila, it's a real pleasure to be here with you again. You're an esteemed talk show host, and I love your audience too, because they really want to know what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, I have the best audience in the world. I always say that, and it's not...
Well, you do.
And it's not a flattery thing. I really have the best listenership out there, because they really are pursuing the deeper things of God. They want the truth in this world that is so abhorrently inundated with falsities, fake news. I mean, that's the order of the day. And this is really the thing that stuns me the most. And it was funny, because I was listening to Tucker on Fox, and he was talking to this DNC liberal about transgenderism. And I was just, you know, nothing much surprises me, but it really still does surprise. And it actually, it breaks my heart how absolutely dumbed and numbed people are in this day and age. There is so much coming out, especially our young kids. It is abhorrently obvious to me the level of absolute mind control that goes on. Even the Quran being read at the Oscars, I mean, that just sent me right into a place of, you have got to be kidding me.
Absolutely. And I feel that we're living in a day and age of survival. But this is a great quote I want to share with you. It's by Virginia Long, and she was a cancer survivor. But to me, this fits so much. It says, to educate is to give power. To give power is to gain control. To gain control is to reduce fear. And to reduce fear is to give hope. And hope is life's key to survival. Mm. And with our ministry, with Monty and I, we like cornbread and grits, they call it, you know, stuff that'll stick to your ribs. And it's help for today, and it's hope for tomorrow. And it's practical applications on what can I do in this crazy, insane world so I don't get swept away.
Yes.
And this is where a lot of people are feeling, is like they have fell all out of the boat and they're just being washed downstream. And they have not been taught how to anchor themselves. And so today I thought we'd go into a little bit of giving people help for today and hope for tomorrow.
We're calling this show today The Psychological Bombing of America. And it really is a steady inundation. We're getting a steady diet of this stuff. So I'm going to hand you the mic and I want you to talk about, well, we're going to talk about the Tavistock Institute. We're going to talk about so much more. So I'll just get you to start off. I'll hand you the mic, Sharon. Take it away.
Okay. Well, you know, if you're feeling a bit down as 2016, you know, has drawn to a close and we're heading full speed into 2017, a lot of people are feeling overwhelmed and out of control. And it's that we're becoming aware of more and more events that are tragic, that we don't seem to have any control over. And then there's all of these events happening that we're not being informed about that are really impacting our lives. And it's coming at a very rapid pace. You know, we have the terror attacks in Brussels, the spread of Zika virus, water disease, and all the lead and flint. And then you have, you know, continuous this, they're trying to make all this black hate white and white hate black with our police forces. And it just goes on and on. And people, you know, you'll notice this as you walk down the street, that they're not smiling. There are a lot of people tell you that they kind of feel depressed or listless. They're looking at the world, you know, unemployment is increasing and it's linked to the suicide. Up to 15% of adults in the United States over 60 exhibit PTSD symptoms. Homelessness among the elderly is increasing and expected to leap 33% by 2020. And economic hardship, especially among women, because we die before our husband, you know, before men. I mean, things are just skyrocketing up. You know, autism now is one in every 28 kids, and used to be one in 10,000 and real rare. And we could go on and on. But what I want to do today is, people know the bad news, but I want to help them understand that this has all been planned. This is not by accident that they're doing this to America. And that's why I call this the psychological bombing of America. And I'd like to share with your audience, well, where did this come from? This has a definite root. And a lot of times, if you give people awareness and understanding, it gives them a bigger sense of being able to cope and go, okay, I know what's really going on now. And then they can start to be more discerning about the news they hear, and they can be a more educated and a more informed listener, like the fake news. I thought that was interesting how they've quit using the conspiracy theory because so many of those were right. So they couldn't use that anymore. So they went on to fake news. And you know, with on and on. And then I think in our government, you know, they don't pay attention to us. The focus seems to be more on intimidation and control than addressing our needs. And we're surveilled through our phones and laptops and TVs. And pretty soon they want to put it in my, you know, the microwave, the coffee pot. And the mentally ill are locked away in solitary confinement and left there to die. Young people can't even get a college education hardly today without being crippled with debt.
But Sharon, even if you get an education from these indoctrination centers, Common Core, like if anybody looked at that and the socialized education system of university, that's a nightmare.
Exactly. And it was planned to be that way. See, people need to understand that nothing happens by chance.
Yep.
Our pastor told us years and years ago, if it happened, it was planned. And just knowing that gives you a sense of control and less of a sense of feeling out of control. Most bankruptcies that people have nowadays are directly related to medical costs.
Yep.
And people's prescriptions, they're tripling and quadrupling for no reason except they can. You know, people are afraid of being destitute in their older age. And every 10 years, you know, there's a cycle of finance that every 10 years they raid your 401ks and all of this. It's so cyclical. I mean, that would be an interesting topic sometime. But people, they have husbands and fathers, they're in prison, and it's coming so fast.
Yes.
And people are really breaking down under the strain, Sheila. And this is where my heart really goes out to. People, once they know the origin of something, it's helpful. But overall, God has answers. And God was not taken by surprise in the day and age that we live in. He has made provision and protection for all of the things that we're going through in this day and age. What I would hope to do in this program is validate what people are feeling and what they're sensing. You are. It's true. We believe you. And that's the first part. And that lowers the level of tension in a person just to realize that, yeah, I'm feeling this way. And yeah, I validate that. That is happening. There are answers. But I think one of the things that is so wicked about what they're doing is that whenever you have pain and emotional pain, and the children of traumatized people carry that legacy of pain in their brains and their bodies, making them more vulnerable to the disease, mental breakdown, addiction, violence. And so the problem just seems to compound. You know, we have 2.7 million children in America have a parent that's locked up. You could spend 3 hours on the effects of not having a parent in childhood. But here's what we're seeing in the American public, at least what I'm observing, is I'm seeing a rampant resignation and then now a denial and almost a denial unto destruction. There's this fatalism. You just, oh, it's futile. It doesn't, nothing we do helps. This helplessness.
Yes.
That people feel in an overwhelming event or disaster, and especially they keep coming and they keep coming. Well, then this leads to a willing abandonment of reason and perception. So this is why people's perceptions tie into their belief systems and you can't even talk to people. And so in order to stay sane, their attitude is, oh, just forget about it. I'm going to forget about it. So we have more distractions. We have bigger Super Bowls. We have more entertainment, more sex, drugs, shopping, finger pointing, or we turn in on ourselves. You know, the divorce rate goes up. Every negative thing increases. And so many of our common diseases and body breakdown that they're classifying as diseases is just related to the stress. But let's go, Sheila. I always say, you know, in Hosea, it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And a knowledge of the truth. And no one can resist what they can't detect. But then the next step is, okay, once detected, what can I do about it? Is my life really as hopeless or helpless as they tell us it is? You know, are we really helpless to do anything? We don't have control over our own destiny, as they say. And who are the they and what are they saying? For those that want to know the truth, Sheila, God promises in his word, he says, I will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
The problem is people get to a certain point and they hit a wall. And we see this so often in church. They'll come and they'll be getting deliverance. Their life will be getting better. And then all of a sudden, God's word will say something and they'll go, no, I don't believe it. I don't want that. And so from that moment on, their trajectory changes. They're no longer seeking after truth because they have stopped at that truth. And wherever we have seen a person stop at receiving the truth, God doesn't bring any more truth to them. And so they go off into delusions and fantasies and, you know, whatever society is teaching them. But for the people that keep going, like your listeners on your show, Sheila, they hear one truth and they go, okay, it may not be pretty, it may not be pleasant, but they know it's the truth. And something inside them says, this is the truth. I'm going to keep walking this way. And what Dr. John Coleman really did the initial and very extensive work on the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. They kept themselves so well hidden that even when he presented his paper in 1969 on the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations and Britain's control of the United States, no one really paid him much attention. And this Tavistock began as a propaganda creating and disseminating organization centered at Wellington House, where the original organization was put together with the intent of shaping a propaganda center that would break down the stiff public resistance being encountered to the looming war between Britain and Germany. They wanted this organization to be capable of manipulating public opinion and directing the manufactured opinions down the desired pathway to support for a declaration of war by Great Britain and Germany. This is kind of the very beginnings, because people never want war. Of course, this was funded by our British royal family, and then later by the Rothschilds. Man, the Rockefellers are in everything rotten. two Americans, Walter Lippmann and Edward Bernays. And everyone's probably pretty familiar with them and their work on mass marketing. You know, why do you have eggs and bacon for breakfast? Because you were told to,
yeah.
You know, and on and on. But they were appointed to manipulate the British and American public and perception to do this. And they directed President Woodrow Wilson. Very interesting how they started this. They started with a small paper and they answered questions to correspondents. And of course, when they answered these questions, they were always clever at printing half-truths and partially true. So people started, their opinions and ideas started changing and they weren't even aware of it. And pretty soon the paper got bigger. And creating public opinion is no less than mass brainwashing.
Yes.
And their goal is to remain hidden. And they did that so well. They're so clever at making you think that you're thinking your thoughts. You know, the whole reason that they started was to destroy Western civilization. That was their whole purpose. But, you know, they always put chocolate around the mothball, I say.
Yeah.
Now, the Tavistock, I don't want people to miss this part, is that the Tavistock Institute really is just a segment or a branch of the Committee of 300.
Got that right.
Yeah, and people have been, you know, coming against and binding and praying over the Illuminati and this. Well, that's just one little segment. The octopus head is more centered in that Committee of 300. And like I say, Dr. Coleman did such fantastic work on that. He's got books out on that. And they are into so many things. They're just into everything. What I see here is what happened in World War II. I think people are going to start to connect the dots pretty fast, Sheila, on this. You know, they set up the core of Britain's Psychological Warfare Bureau in 1922, you know, with a Major John Rawlings Rees, and they used all these poor British soldiers as guinea pigs. But it was intentionally for psychological warfare. And what happened was that Lewin became the director of the Strategic Bombing Survey, which was a plan for the Royal Air Force to concentrate on bombing German worker housing while leaving military targets such as munition plants and all of the Rothschild estates and any estate that any New World Order person had. They never had one bomb drop anywhere near them. They left them alone. Because the munition plants on both sides belonged to the international bankers who had no wish to see their assets destroyed. At no time in history had this been done before where they started to target civilians. It used to be when men went to war, they fought against other warriors. And now this is a whole switch to show you just how evil this was. And so they did all of this investigating, and the turn now, what we're feeling the effects of now, is that the research was directed towards civilian rather than military applications. The idea behind saturation bombing of civilian worker housing was to break the morale of the German worker. It was not designed to affect the war effort against the German military machine. Lewin and his team of actuaries reached a target figure that if 65% of German worker housing was destroyed by nightly RAF bombing, the morale of the civilian population would collapse. And the actual document was prepared by the Prudential Assurance Company. Now, and one night alone, the firebombing of Dresden killed over 125,000 people, mainly old men, women, and children. Wow. There was no military reason to do this. And of course, they kept this, like a lot of other things that they did, secret for a long, long time after World War II. But this is where what they did and the research, and they had many studies done on the effects of civilian bombing. And did you know that FEMA is a natural successor to the Strategic Bombing Survey of World War II? Dr. Kurt Lewin, the theoretician for what the Tavistock conspirators called crisis management, was deeply involved in the study. They took all of that information, turned it into a very systematic, methodical plan to turn the gun on the United States of America. And for 45 years after the end of World War II, it is still Tavistock that has its hands on the trigger, and the weapon is pointed at the United States.
Kurt Lewin was actually a German refugee. So, and then he became the director of Tavistock in 32. And it was actually him that not only went to the United States as a refugee, but he was the first of really many infiltrators. And he set up, of course, the good old Harvard Psychology Clinic, which is straight out of the pit of hell. And that sort of really originated, Sharon, the whole propaganda campaign to turn the American public against Germany and really involved America in World War II, because they weren't even getting involved.
No, 86% of the American public did not want to go to war.
I know.
Because they saw the effects of World War I.
Yes.
You know, and Margaret Mead was all a part of this, and the research that she did on the studies in Japan. And of course, John Rawlings Rees, he got promoted to Brigadier General for his horrible work that he was doing.
Yeah.
And these test results were given to FEMA, and it's the Irving Janis report that said was of great value in formulating FEMA policies. In case you ever thought that FEMA was your friend, you need to realize that FEMA is not your friend, and it's not going to be there when you're in trouble. Janis used it in a book, which he later wrote, entitled Air War and Stress. The ideas in his book were followed to the letter by FEMA during the Three Mile Island crisis. So here's it's real simple. What they say is you simulate a succession of crises and manipulate the population following the Lewin terror tactics, and they will get the desired response every time, which is to terrorize the American people, they're anti-nuclear. Whatever they want to do, they use that simple formula. One thing that was very interesting, and this will be for the ladies, that they found out that they believed that women couldn't really lie. Isn't that amazing? It's like, where did that belief system come in? But they found out very, very early that social control on a wide scale can be achieved by using the news media to bring home the horrors of a nuclear war and the television set. But you get mass media and then mass media over TV, and now you have mass media over every electronic device that you have, your little smartphone, your dumb phone, whatever, all these phones, iPad, U-pad, E-pad. I mean, it's everywhere. But they discovered that women's magazines were very effective in dramatizing the terrors of a nuclear war, or educating people that don't vaccinate their kids are hurting the country and they should be locked up. they had Tavistock employees write these articles for women's magazines as a way of creating opinions and shaping their belief systems, and people don't even know it.
Yeah, that's right. They don't have a clue. And, you know, I don't know who I dislike more, George Soros or Henry Kissinger. They're right up there at the top of my list. But, you know, it was interesting that Henry Kissinger was a student of Sir John Rawlings Rees at SHAFE. And Dr. Peter Bourne was, of course, a Tavistock Institute psychologist. He actually picked Jimmy Carter for the president solely because, well, guess what? Carter went under intensive brainwashing by this whole experiment that they coordinated. So you not only have the American Jewish Congress involved in this whole thing, but then you've got Stanford, you've got Harvard, you've got all these programs. It is just, it's a mind-numbing network here, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's so ironic, isn't it, that all these prestigious schools that you want your kids to get into are really hotbeds of the New World Order indoctrination, like, you know, Georgetown, all of those. And that's pretty sad. I mean, because they're all involved in this, but they have this facade of being so advanced that they have put out. They've done their PR good. And it costs a fortune to go to these schools to get totally mind controlled. But what, you know, Sheila, if anybody tasted arsenic, they go, oh, that's arsenic. But if arsenic is in cupcake icing, people go, oh, this is sweet. I like this. Let's have some more. And that's how they do it. And they do it with a collection of untruths, non-facts, innuendos are really used, conjectures, but they're based entirely upon false premises. And, you know, when kids first start school, they believe what their teacher says because God put it into kids to listen to their parents, to believe their parents. And they, of course, they were supposed to teach the kids right things and good things, but that was taken advantage of with our public school system, which was hijacked many, many years ago. And so kids don't even know that they're being taught lies. I call it the parrot syndrome. They just parrot what everybody else has told them. And that's so true even in the church realm. But people aren't aware. They are so sneaky and they don't play by the rules. And this is where the American public, you know, we, oh, give the guy another chance. We'll think the best of you until we don't. Well, sometimes we're almost a little bit too forgiving and not naive, but we just think the best of everybody. And maybe we should be just a little bit more cautious on all of that.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder how many Americans know this, Sharon, especially the Christian population, that even the whole counterculture of LSD, that was all created by a Swiss drug firm that was actually one of the financiers of Hitler, of the whole Nazi regime. And the CIA actually funded this LSD counterculture of the 1960s, the whole student revolution, that was financed about $30 million from the CIA. And then enter, of course, the part of the MKUltra was the Human Ecology Fund by the CIA. The Dr. Herbert Kelman of Harvard actually carried out these experiments. So when you really look at the whole big, huge octopus tentacles of this thing, it gets into everything from our present day pharmaceutical companies. It gets into these extensive MKUltra programs. I mean, it is frightening.
Well, I was doing some research, and of course, I have a real love for medicine, real medicine. But before World War II, the pharmaceutical companies like Bayer and a bunch of others, they had huge plants, and they were very instrumental in what went on in World War II, and they were very instrumental in a lot of the concentration camp things that went on. So there's so much truth that we haven't been told about the pharmaceutical companies and how they treated the people. That was such an eye-opener for me.
Well, and that ties into the most powerful German economic corporate emporium in the first half of the century. That was IG Farben. IG Farben being the powerful cartel of BASF, Bayer, and other German chemical and pharmaceutical companies. It was the single largest donor to the election campaign of Hitler. In fact, if they hadn't donated something like 500,000 marks to Hitler and his Nazi party, well, maybe he wouldn't have rose to power, but IG Farben was the only German company in the Third Reich that actually ran its own concentration camp. And I'm sure it wasn't a coincidence they built their plant in Auschwitz. I mean, a free workforce. The Zyklon B gas, which killed millions of Jews and other people, that was produced by their subsidiary company, Degesch. So think about that. I mean, that is stunning. And all the nightmarish experiments. If you look at the Auschwitz file and you see all those medical experiments, just absolutely frightening. And how that ties in today, think about the marriage of Monsanto with Bayer. You know, we know Monsanto's reputation for deadly trails of everything from disappearing wildflowers and butterflies to poverty-stricken family farmers forced to buy its seeds and pesticides. I mean, that is a match made in hell right there as well.
Oh, they're evil from the root up. I mean, yeah. But I wasn't aware of how much that played into this, but it just shows the evilness of the pharmaceutical companies.
Think about this for a sec. The Tavistock Institute today operates an $8 billion a year network of these foundations that seem so benevolent in the U.S., and they're all funded, Sharon, with taxpayer money.
See, this is the genius of it, isn't it, Sheila? I mean, this is pure genius. You really got to admit that. We are paying for our own destruction.
Yeah, no doubt.
And here again, what they've learned very well is language and the words that you say. We want change. When you say that to me, I say that to you. It's totally different than what they're saying. They have a special code of words, and I know you know all of this, but the American public hears these words, oh, good, everything's going to get better. That isn't what change means.
It's like the Obama thing. What did they always say for 4 years? Hope and change, right?
Right. It was actually hopelessness and destruction. But they told us. See, this is another thing that they tell us all the time what they're going to do through the movies, through lots of different things. And of course, we just think it's sci-fi and science fiction. But that's part of their code of honor, I guess, if they have one, is that they have to tell people what they're going to do to them. And so they do. And you look at all these old sci-fi movies. I mean, it's like, wow, that's what's happening now. And this was like 20 years ago. You know, Brave New World, all of these books that are written by all of these people, you know, it's predictive programming and they're conditioning us and lowering our resistance with it. One of the things, you know, it stated that they wanted to demoralize the German worker. And the meaning of demoralize is to deprive a person or persons of spirit, courage, and discipline. Isn't that something? And to throw a person into disorder or confusion, to bewilder. One of their examples here from the dictionary was, we were so demoralized by that one wrong turn that we were lost for hours. Here it just shows you the mental confusion and stupor that comes over with the spirit of demoralize. And this is what they've done to America. They are depriving us, and the American people have such spirit and such courage and discipline, and the American people have, there is something special in a sense about them. And the New World Order hates that. We're independent thinkers, generally. We're pioneers. We go out there, we try something new. We're not afraid to fail. And that's not like the rest of the world. We always used to say it's like those that came to America came because they had this kind of a spirit. The rest stayed in Europe. And look where Europe's at today. Totally overrun. But this is why they don't like the United States, why they have targeted us, especially because they hate the people of the United States. And they see what the spirit of the people can do. And other people that come to our country often have this same spirit. They see the future. They're a visionary. They see things. They create things. They build things where the rest of the world just copies whatever we do. But they hate this. And so we are being targeted for that reason. Another thing I want to bring up that we've noticed is the process of reactivation. When a person gets traumatized, and from Greek, the word trauma means to wound. Okay, let's say, Sheila, by accident, you put your hand on the stove, you had an electric stove, you know, not a gas one. You didn't know it was on. And you got your hand burned pretty bad. Well, it doesn't take long that every time you go to the stove, you're very wary of that burner.
Yeah.
And that can even come back into your mind, not only the physical pain, but emotional pain. So with all the traumatization and all that they're doing to America, we're wounded. And so they keep showing old World War II movies. And that reactivates and cements those inherited emotional patterns into not only the original person, but also the generations after them. Have you thought about all the World War II veterans coming home? See, and so their families are living with that. And so they have all these old war movies. And it's like this, it's not sadistic, but I don't know of a good word, but it's like you're drawn to that. It's like people that just have to go to horror movies and be scared to death. It's like they just have to do that to get re-traumatized. It's like something inside them just keeps going to that place to put your hand on the stove again. And these patterns we know can be passed down generation to generation. And as they're passed down, it becomes almost worse, like say in the second generation or third generation, they're hypersensitive. So they're not, it's like their nerves are raw. It's like you're not dealing with a person that's whole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's just something inside of people that does that. Some of the other things, I think people maybe will recognize this in their life, Sheila, with demoralize. It cripples, it dampens, it debilitates, dejection, disconcert, discouraged, disheartened, disorganized, psyched out, take apart, unglue, dispirit, disturb, embarrass, sap, undermine, unsettle, upset, weaken, abash, damp, disarrange, disorder, enfeeble, jumbled up, muddled, rattle, shake, you know, blow out, blow up. What I do when a person comes to our church for prayer is I will just listen to the person talk. And as you listen to people talk, the words that they say are giving you clues to what's really inside trying to tear apart their lives. Oh, I just feel dejected today. Or, oh, my spirits are dampened. Or, oh, you know, they don't realize how much of what's going on inside of them comes out in their speech. And people can use this for their advantage. Just listen to what you say. And that will kind of give you an idea of what is happening on the inside of you. You know, shock, the shocking of America, you know, it's a sudden and a violent blow or impact or collision, like the Twin Towers. Also, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, you ask anyone and they know exactly where they were and what they're doing on that day when he was shot. Yes. It's vivid in my memory, and I think I was very, very young then.
Wow.
But I remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow.
And this is what they do. The same thing with the Twin Towers and anything that is at that level, it does, it shocks the person's mind and their nervous system. And when you get a wild shock to your nervous system, it starts to break down your body and your mind. It's it's a sudden, a violent disturbance of the mind, emotions, or sensibilities. You can have a collapse of your circulatory system by being shocked. Isn't that something?
Wow.
And it can be caused from severe injury, blood loss, disease, or different things like that. But what we're kind of focusing on in this program is what the Tavistock organization, the Committee of 300, is doing to American citizens.
And there's thousands of these big, high-level government institutions, organizations. When you look at all the alphabet soup agencies, Sharon, that are involved in this, from the RAND Corporation, these law foundations, these, you know, ACLU, you've got all these organizations that are working lockstep. Of course, United Nations is part of it, the Federal Reserve, you've got the Office of Education that is responsible for educating the world. All the U.S. foreign policy making comes under that RAND think tank. So it's not hard to see how all these dots connect to really subjugate the population. Really, it's like that serfdom by stealth. You know, Aldous Huxley said, we will make them love their servitude.
And that's exactly what they're doing. And they're using very evil, underhanded methods to do it. And this is kind of where the American people have a problem, is that they don't think that their government would do anything bad to them. And it has been documented and researched hundreds and thousands of times, possibly, of our own government testing its own people, which they're still doing today. Our government is not there to protect us.
Right.
Have you noticed one of the slangs or slogans? And slogans was something that Tavistock really brought to an art, was slogans. Because they know people will pick up slogans like, where's the beef? You know, I mean, who could forget that, you know? But here's another one. Keep you safe. Keep you safe. They know what the basic person's needs are. And one of the very basic needs of all human beings is security and belonging. And so what do? Is you have to do this. We'll keep you safe. And in every movie you watched, we've noticed throughout the years, it's kind of fun when you can see movies and research them out as you're watching them. Everyone will say, be safe.
Yeah.
Be safe. It's in there. So they're brainwashing you. Keep you safe. I mean, we're here to help you.
And then the question becomes, keep us safe from what? Right?
But people don't go to that level. Yeah. People don't even go there. All they hear is keep you safe. So it's like, okay. And what's really happens too, when you have this constant bombardment of natural disasters, I looked up, I was doing some research just for fun. And starting in the year 1945, you know, natural disasters like floods and all of that stayed really, really low. I mean, like, it's like, what, 10? As soon as 1945 came, natural disasters like floods and storms, which goes into the weather manipulation, it went off the charts to over 425 from maybe 10. But see, in 1945, they declared war on America.
Yeah.
And they have done it using many, many, many things. The number one disasters that they're talking about is drought, extreme weather, earthquakes, hurricanes, solar storms, tornadoes, fire. More people have been killed by tsunamis and floods than ever before. And that's very easy for HAARP. You know, they go down and when they did the analysis, it's all at the same level under the earth, you know, 6.0 or what, you know, something like that. It was all the same. And this is the other thing that they do. They bombard us with Super Bowl and Lady Gaga and the Muppets or whatever, and they're not telling us what the true dangers are. I mean, they're having whales like 500 up on the beach. I was just reading that the other day, and it's getting worse and worse, and they're not telling people about it because they really want to get rid of 90% of the world's population. So they fill us full of nonsensical, unimportant news that just keeps working on our nervous system and the spirits of fear. And if they can keep us in a state of fear, they have total control of you, because fear doesn't act rationally. And you can't rationalize with a person when they're in fear. And then there's no peace. And plus, it wears down the body. It does a multitude of things. But Carolyn Leaf, you know, she did such remarkable work in her books about what you think and how it affects your body. I mean, it was such marvelous research she did on that, that just should encourage everyone. You can't afford to be afraid. I know my husband did a message on the high cost of fear. And he went through and he said, people, this is what you're paying if you're afraid. You know, it's like if you go to Kmart and you have to pay $500 for a Kmart shirt, you're going, this isn't worth it. You know, and so, and that's what fear is. Fear is buying a $500 shirt at Kmart and it's destroying you. That your kids are hyperactive, the aggressive, depression, the drug abuse, decreased immunities. They found in Germany that the education levels went down. And this was like for 40 years afterwards, the height of the children was much smaller. So this is a serious thing. But for Christians, we have a God who is not surprised by all of this. And the scriptures say that he is our shield. He is our defender. He is our healer, our protector, our counselor. He'll give us good advice. He will deliver us from fear. He puts the solitary in families, you know, that sense of belonging and people want to be together. The promises that we have in Scripture. But people need to realize that this is really only for Christians. So I would encourage anyone that's listening to this program that is full of fear and your life may be falling apart and you just don't know where to turn, I would just encourage you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, help me. I'm losing it, Lord. I want to commit suicide. I've had it. I want to beat the dog. I want to run away and hide. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that can help you. And you can have a life that has joy and peace and purpose. But sadly, it's only for Christians. I hate to sound exclusivism, or what do they call it, inclusivism or something, but that's why the gospel is called good news, Sheila. Yes. It's good news. And that's what happened to me. My life was falling apart, and I thought, you know what? Help. And my prayer was simple, and I just said, help, Lord. I can't do this. My life is just a mess. Please come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and help me. And from that day, little by little, he led me. And every year, my life has gotten healthier. Our finances have gotten better. And it's not that you don't have troubles and trials, but you're not going through them alone anymore, Sheila. You have the God of the universe there beside you, encouraging you. And you come into a family. You're no longer alone. You have a sense of belonging. Other Christians are your brothers and sisters. That is really the only medicine for the times that we live in.
You know, there's a lot of talk about, oh, there's many ways. I mean, we have the Church of Oprah telling us there's many ways to God. I'm going to tell you what God says. He said there's one way. And Jesus Christ took our penalty for sin to the cross of Calvary. And that, all other roads are dead ends, Sharon.
They really are. And one of the things that we have found, a brief side note, Sheila, I don't know if you read the thing where a Muslim had a afterlife experience and God had him come back and he was telling all the other Muslims, you are not going to a good place. It is fire and burning in hell. You are not going to whatever their heaven is. But I thought, look how merciful God is to show people that what they've been taught was wrong. And there is only one way.
There really is. And yet, you know, what fascinates me is that the one way, Jesus Christ, is the very thing. Think about this, people. It's the very thing that causes there to be an uproar. Don't you find that just fascinating? The name of Jesus, it offends people. You can talk about Buddha and Allah. You can quote the Quran on the Oscars. But boy, you don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. He is the rock of offense.
I know. I was mentioning to Monty, you know when people swear?
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, you know, JC. Well, I never hear anybody go, oh, Buddha, or oh, Confucius. You know what I mean? So it just shows you who the true God is, right? That's just a little side note. I thought that was funny.
They don't say, oh, Allah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, Sharon, in the waning moments, I'm going to get you to pray for the people. We're going to lead them into a prayer deliverance to deal with a lot of this disparaging, discouragement, all these spirits that are inundating people, tormenting, oppressive spirits, all the spirits that are really causing havoc on people. Let's go ahead now and do that. Sharon, if you would lead us in a prayer, please go ahead.
Let's do that. And Sheila, if there's some that you think of, you just join right with us. But let's start. So Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank you, first of all, for you and being the God of the universe and being in control of everything. Your word says that Jesus Christ holds all things together. That's why we don't have to fall apart or break apart, Lord, because you can hold us together. And Lord, I lift up and I pray for your people. And we come against these spirits of oppression, confusion, disheartenedness, all of the post-traumatic stress and the traumas that are just piling on the people and piling on the people. I just command you to release the people now in Jesus Christ's name. You come out of the people and off of the people. You get out now in Jesus Christ's name. All the spirits of demoralizing, just being demoralizing and hopeless and helpless, and you just can't get your footing or your bearing. You just feel like you're walking on ice, or just slipping and sliding, and you're just like a little hamster. You're just going faster and faster and faster, but you're getting absolutely nowhere. We just command those cycles to stop now in Jesus Christ's name. I command you to stop going around in circles and not getting anywhere. I command you to stop, and I break the power of that over people's minds now in Jesus Christ's name. I lose a spirit of peace that passes understanding to go now into every person and go from the top of their head to the sole of their foot, to go in now and just flood your people with peace and sound mind, and begin to heal and restore their nervous systems and all their organs that have been damaged by this horrible fears and terror and fear of the unknown and fear of being out of control, fear of running out of money, and fear I don't know what to do. Just loose that spirit of peace to go in there and start pushing all of those fears and that torment and that bondage again unto fear. I break the power of that three-stranded cord and you come out of the people now, but that spirit that passes all understanding of peace, flood your people now, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. I lose hope. I lose encouragement. Father, I ask as they read your word that you would direct them to your promises to preserve us and to protect us and to be our shield against radiation, against everything we eat and everything we drink, that you are our shield, that you are our defender. You are the counselor. If we don't know what to do, we're to come to you. I loose into your people, Lord, all that they need this day to live the life that you've always wanted them to live, and give them hope again, Father. Hope in you if they've been discouraged and disappointed, and if those spirits are trying to separate them from your love and everything trying to separate the people from the love of God, I command you to get out of the people now in Jesus' name. I break the power of the inherited emotional patterns over the people that are just setting them up to repeat their parents' emotions or grandparents' emotions of terror, trauma, paralysis, confusion. You know what they are, Father. I don't even have to name them all, or I don't even have to know all their names. All I have to know is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has power and authority over all the enemy now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, remind the people that there's two angels for every demon. He's outnumbered. We are on the winning team. Just give your people hope and peace and rest today, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen, Sharon. That was very powerful. And I do, in the waning moments, want to very quickly talk about an upcoming conference. I want you to tell the people about this April event in Colorado and how people can get more information. So do tell people. I'm really excited about this conference. I want to be there. It's really, really exciting. So talk to the people about what is coming up here in April and how they can get out to this.
I would just like to invite all of those that are interested. We're having a deliverance, a workshop. We call it a workshop because we work. The messages are geared for those that are serious about deliverance and their walk with God. We have it for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting on the 21st. And people, we will have very good informative messages, and we do deliverance. We have just had awesome reviews and testimonies from people. And our heart and our life has been dedicated to giving people help for today and hope for tomorrow. And we've found that the most effective way to do that is, you know, educate the people, give them understanding about God's word, and to get the demons out of them that are sabotaging their life. And it will change your life. Monty and mine's testimony is, where would we be without deliverance? Well, I don't know. It wouldn't be in a very pretty place. The conference will be held this year in Montrose, Colorado. So if you want to stay a couple extra days and go hiking, we have some of the most beautiful mountains here and scenery. It will be in Montrose, Colorado this April.
And how can they get more information, Sharon, on this?
Just log on to WCCD.com. our website that we have for the ministry. If they log on there, or they can email Monty directly at churchwccd@aol.com, and he will get you information right out to you.
And that information is linked there today on the bio, folks. Sharon, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and I'm really looking forward to this April event, and I hope to see a lot of like-minded people out there. I don't care if I have to duct tape myself to a Greyhound. I'm going to come, Sharon. Thank you for coming on the program, Sharon. It's a real pleasure.
I'm so delighted to be here with you, Sheila. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Folks, that was Sharon Mulkey, wife of Pastor Monty Mulkey. In fact, Monty and Sharon are coming on the program together, and I can't wait to introduce you to Sharon's husband. What a powerhouse. He was very much involved in Win Worley, the granddaddy of deliverance. This guy is, he's one of the generals in deliverance, and what a pleasure to have them both come on the program. I think this Friday, Monty is going to come on the program, Monty and Sharon. It'll be great. I'm really wanting to get out to this event. Me, my crutches, and some duct tape and a Greyhound bus. Yeah, that's not a very good plan, probably. Yeah, my knees are still really bugging me and causing me a lot of torment. And boy, oh boy, I'm believing to receive my healing, I'll tell you. I know that it's just there to receive it. And while I'm fighting with them, well, I'm just plugging along and doing the very best that I can with this agonizing, steady pain. I've got a lot of stuff going on in my right leg right now, probably because just putting so much pressure, all my weight is probably bearing down on the right leg now. So yeah, crutches, good times. But I'll tell you, go to WCCD and get some more information. And again, that information's linked on the bio today. That is West Coast Church of Deliverance with Sharon and Monty Mulkey. You want to make it a priority to get out to this event. And me and Carla, well, we're planning on going. Even if I have to hobble around an airport, I want to get to this. And I want to see you out there as well. And bring your book, Power Prayers, and Carla and I will sign it for you out there. Again, that's April 21st, 22nd, 23rd in Montrose, Colorado. And they have some more information on their website. Tonight on The Hagman Show, I'm going to be a guest. What a great place to celebrate my birthday today than being back with my old pals, Doug and Joe Hagman. It's going to be a good show. Tune into that. And then tomorrow, John Terrell is back. Question and answer part two of Israel, the Kabbalah, and the Antichrist. He answers your questions, and that's going to be a great show. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night, and God bless you.